Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. I'm Cindy Cherry here with my
Everybody
dad.
Everybody says you should be speaking more.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. You know, you don't want me to talk
Kathy,
to you.
Kathy, who ran the coach's quarter, yeah, nobody ran it, but she used to Kathy Broderick, for I better not say this, probably get fired, but I'd mark things down during a game, and she'd email me after, you know, like, and we'd be right in sync.
Well, she knows her hockey. Holy smokes. She ever? Kathy, she really knows her hockey.
I have to tell you a funny story. When I was in my heyday, and we were going, and they tell her when she first started, she was a rookie. Remember, she had red hair.
She was a runner. She started right from the ground floor.
Yeah, she knew. So they told her. He said, "Get all the stats and give Don and Ron the stats." Well, there was 6 seconds to go in the game, and I could hear her getting the stats. But you know, and it used to be a little room we had in Madison Square, Toronto Maple Leaf Gardens. And so I told her after was, I said, look, I guess I was a little rough with her. I said, you don't have to get stats. We're off the air at 6 p.m. So she told me later, she walked away and she come back to me. She redheaded. Eh? I was told to get stats and I'm going to get stats and I'll give you a stat. And she really give me heck. And I thought, boy, what a...
And you liked her after that. Because she's working in a man's world in those days down
there.
Oh,
yeah, back then. And remember, she had red hair. And I remember she used to smoke too. She doesn't smoke anymore, but I always remembered that she came back and she said after, so I guess I'm fired because I give Don Cherry.
Well, you're secure enough in yourself that you can get crap from a woman and take it really well.
I laughed. I thought it was funny.
That's right.
Me heck. Anyhow, how did we get into that?
Well, I was going to say, you know, the movie industry, right, has suffered a great loss. Oh, it's so sad to hear Sean Connery passed on, Dad.
I know this is sports, and I know you shouldn't be speaking about a movie star, but he was a great movie star. He was a bodybuilder, too. He started out as, I know all about him. I read his life story. I read the book on him, and he never wrote a book, but they did a thing on him. And I read a book, Shelley 1 and Shelley 2 was both Shelley Winters. Yeah, I do. I read all books like that. And she's talked about Sean Connery. He sort of his girlfriend, like in between marriages, he was his girlfriend. And the story was, I thought, just to tell you what kind of a guy is Sean Connery. How many movies was he in, Tim?
I don't know, quite a few. Nine,
I think, or something. He was in.
Oh, it was more than nine. He was in a lot of movies.
No, yeah, but I mean the James Bond.
Oh,
I think it was about nine. Anyhow, seven or nine. So anyhow, the story goes when he was nobody, and he hadn't any money. Him and his brother were living in a house, and she met him somehow. She thought every woman fell in love with him because he was a big, tall, good-looking guy, and when he spoke in a Scotch burr, he's quite a Scotsman, eh? He had on his arm Scotland Forever. So anyhow, he was going to lose his house. Him and his brother was going to lose his house, and his Shelley Winters' agent said she was doing a movie over there. She said, "What was that?"
Per diem.
Per diem, yeah. And she had it left over, it was pounds or something. She says, well, give him $500. And he says, I can't give him that. He won't take it. He says, okay, then why don't you, his brother's writing a book, say it's in advance and save his house because she was going back to the United States. So that's what happened. And about 12 years later, she was at a party and she really admired a fur coat a girl was wearing there, and 2 days later, the fur coat arrived. He said, thanks, from Sean Connery. It was from Sean, and that's the kind of guy he was. He wouldn't take money, and as movies, I just love it when he said, Bond, James Bond.
Well, he started my favorite movie of all time, The Man Who Would Be King. Now, that is a classic movie, if anyone wants to watch a very deep, who would the author, Rudyard Kipling?
In Roger classic. Kipling wrote it, yep. And William Houston he did Casablanca and all those movies, and it was his first movie, I think, he was going to do, and a lot of people didn't want to do it. I think way back, they were going to do Spencer Tracy and Humphrey Bogart, And you know, they got too old to do it, so they said, "Are you kidding?" I think they were going to get Peter. I don't know, Paul Newman, I think. And they, "What, are you crazy? You got to get Sean Connery and Michael Caine." And it is a great movie, Man Who Would Be King by Rudyard Kipling. And anyhow, Sean Connery, he got an Academy Award for The Untouchables, and I always liked him. And he was a man.
He was the Bond. There's no way they everybody pales in comparison to him.
Okay, that's enough.
So now, when you think about it, I mean, there's no hockey going on, and baseball's over.
Well,
what are you guys going to talk about now?
Well, we got lots to talk about. First of all, let's talk about this OHL no hitting. I mean, I'd hate to be the referees. Everybody's talking about everybody else. The Quebec League, it has hitting. And the Western League, it has hitting. And somehow, I don't know who makes the decision, tells the OHL they can't have. How can you play hockey and not be near one another?
Well, explain it to me. What is this, a COVID thing or something?
Okay, it's COVID. Somebody in the government has made a decision that the OHL can play, but they can't have body checking. Well, no, first of all, there's no body checking, not much anyhow, but they got to go near one another. And the Quebec League is playing, and it has body checking, and the
But Doug Ford, he put out a thing last night.
Did he?
Yeah, and he said that they're still talking, and like he says, you know, that they're going to try to work to get OHL back and have checking. I mean, I know Doug Ford probably just read that and just went,
"Here we go."
Everything that I got on my plate, and you know, this MP puts this out. And now everybody's up in arms, and now he's got to put out the fire.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest, she kind of did it on like off the cuff, like just it was just off the cuff interview. But
well, how can you have hitting? Now I want to ask you, Tim, how many people did you have for Halloween? I sat out
zero.
I had one, and a policeman come with his kids.
But here's the thing, like talking about trick or treating and all that, and we'll get off on this, but. If they would let, so here's the thing, they're going to let the OHL play, but without hitting, right?
That's what they said.
Okay, so they let the young kids go to school, right? The young kids are going to school, like, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-olds are going to school, but they won't let them play hockey. So there's no hitting at that age anyway. They don't hit at the age. So if they're going to let them go to school.
Well, we watched there's very few bashes, and it's by accident unless you do something.
Yeah, but the rule is until you're 13 you can't hit. So the question is, if you're going to let the kids go to school and you're going to let the OHL play but they can't hit, why wouldn't you let the young kids play? And because there's no hitting. I mean,
you were showing me a thing from Al from Regina. We talk about short sticks and long sticks, and he said he was sort of confused. Now, I'd like to talk more about Byfield. And, you know, we went to see him play in, where was it, St. Andrews?
St. Andrews, yeah. So, yeah, we saw him play. He was with, I think, York Simcoe we saw him play.
Yeah, we went out there, and don't ever trip when you go out there. What a beautiful spot. Now, let me just talk about what I said about this Byfield. Big guy. He's as big as Lindros, but he doesn't play like Lindros. But he had a short stick. The first time I saw him, I said, "Stick is too short. You're going to be bent over. He can get away with it in junior." And he did had a great in Sudbury. Bang, you're going to get hit because you're bent over all the time. But Gordie Howe had a short stick, but he had a short. You can go from a long stick to a short stick. And I heard the guys on TV and everything say that when, you know, they get a hold of him, they'll give him a long stick.
Yeah, they were saying on Sportsnet that
you can't go from a short stick to a long stick. You just can't. Now, a lot of small guys have a long stick, and Martin St. Louis comes to mind, and he won the scoring title because if you have a long stick and you're a short guy, you're just as good as a tall guy because you can do everything. But to be honest, you have to be honest, with a short stick you can handle a puck better, but you don't have the shot the same. And I remember I said I wonder how Bobby Orr, the greatest hockey player who ever played, I had one of his original sticks, and I I went and it's to the chin, and I remember in your street shoes or whatever it is, the stick should come to your chin. So that answers L. Now get into sticks and that, the guy that we talked about before was McInnes, was unbelievable. He had a wooden stick and he could go 100 miles an hour in that slap shot. Now, a composite stick, and I remember when I played, three or four guys could really hum a puck. But now everybody can with that thing. It's like a boomerang almost and everything like that. Yeah, you know, by the way, I have to say that we're doing this Sunday, Jack Nicklaus went for Trump. Said that, what did he say? He said that he was our president. And Bobby Orr took a page out in the New Hampshire. He's taking a page out in the Boston Globe in Massachusetts, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the Republicans, there's no way they're going to win.
No way.
In fact, you can't even get, like, you know, you can bet on who's going to win what. You know, like, is a Republican going to win in South Dakota or whatever? But they won't in Massachusetts because the Democrats are going to win. So that's why he took it out in New Hampshire.
What's the nickname for Massachusetts? Taxachusetts.
Taxachusetts, yes.
What is it called?
Taxachusetts.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was there.
Well, Bobby, I mean, you know, that was pretty gutsy of Bobby to do that.
Better believe it.
Because he really, you know, he really got into a lot of flack.
Jack Nicklaus, too. But the guy they give the hardest dig was Bobby Orr. Because
Nicholson, not Nicklaus. Nicholson.
Oh, what do I call him?
Nicholas. You call him Jack Nicklaus, like the.
Oh yeah, and okay, Jack Nicklaus. Okay, he come out for Trump too, and but the one they give Bobby, like, they couldn't believe Bobby Orr was, and he took an advertisement of full, and he paid for it. And, you know, it's really something, anyhow.
It's funny how, like, you know, as you say, if you go in the Twitter world, he really got blasted, but. You know, and it's
Twitter world anyhow. Why the people that don't? I hate to interrupt him, but the people that don't like him wouldn't buy his memorabilia anyhow.
Yeah.
So what's
well, no, but I'm just saying, I was just going to say how when athletes come out and they were for Biden, it was how great it was that they're using their platform to, you know, push all that.
True.
And then when Bobby came out and Brett Favre came out and everybody.
They're bad guys.
Oh, you know, it's why are these athletes, you know, what are they?
Another rich athlete endorsing right, Trump. That was the big thing, you know.
Anyhow, Bobby took the full page out, boy, and he's for Trump, and so is Jack Nicklaus. I don't know why I call him that. He won 18 majors and the greatest golf.
Well, so we've got to tell everybody, we still got a bet. We got a bet.
You're going to lose. I'm a Trump man too. So.
You doubled it, eh, Dad? Like I'm in for. I'm not doubling mine. I mean,
I'm doubling. What have I got with you?
No, I'm with you. I think Trump's going to win, and so yeah. But you doubled it.
I didn't check this morning, but when we made the bet, Biden had a big lead on all the sports bets.
I told you.
But the polls mean nothing to me. I mean,
But the betting guys know.
Oh, the betting.
Well, they think they know.
Yeah. They think they know. But just speaking of betting, we just want to quickly mention our sponsor, Spreads.ca. It's the First Nations owned online casino and sportsbook, and it's tailored for Canadians. Sign up now and enter the promo Grapes, and they'll match your deposit 100% up to $500. So if you put $50 in, they'll give you $50. You get 15 free spins on the wheel to win some big dough. And then when you sign up for the first time, they'll give you $25 for a free bet.
No, so. I had a couple of guys come up to me, and they want a bet. Okay, Tim, this putting you on the spot again. If I want to bet on $20 on a certain thing, say I want to bet on something, what do I phone or what do I do?
So, well, you go on spreads.ca.
Oh, spreads.ca.
Okay, and you have
how do you spell that? Like.
Spreads, SPREADS .ca.
Okay, yeah.
And then what you do is you have to sign up. So you put your email address in and you put a password in. And then you have to...
You make up your password?
Make up your own password. Yeah. And then you have to put money into your...
How do you do that now?
Well, there's a way to... You put it through your credit card.
Credit card, yeah.
You put it up. And then you could go... They have online casino, so you can play... You know, blackjack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can play like, and then the nice thing with that too is that you can play 50 cent blackjack. So if you just want to go and spend some time and play blackjack, 50 cents, you don't have to spend $5. And then, or you can go on the sports book, and then they have a list of all the different sporting events. Yeah. And then you go in. Okay. So like if you were going to bet on the World Series, you go on the World Series and then they give you the odds. And then they also have prop bets and like who's going to score first. And even what is kind of cool now, they have things where like halfway through the game, like if you're watching an NFL game, some of the games you can still bet who's going to win even at halftime.
Oh, yeah.
If they're going to come back and all that stuff.
What did you think of, not that you were talking about the World Series, what did you think of the manager pulling Snell?
That's the thing that, so people that don't know what happened was the LA Dodgers won the World Series, and in Game 6, Tampa Bay had to win. They were down, right?
So, 1-0 score.
The sixth inning, the Rays were up 1-0, and the starter, Blake Snell, I mean, he was just unbelievable.
Nailing everybody.
One hit, 9 strikeouts. He struck out 9 out of 16 batters.
Betts say after? Like
he interviewed Mookie Betts because he was the star for the Dodgers, and they said, "What do you think of taking Snell?" And he said, "I don't know about that move. I don't like." He didn't. The Dodger dugout was just ecstatic. So they pull him. They pull the man. They pull the pitcher, and 2 batters later, they're down.
They put a guy in Jackson. I felt sorry for him.
You could say that if the other team is happy that of a move that you make on your own team, that it might not have been the right move. Is that?
Well, you know, it's
funny. Can you do that assumption?
You know, it's a funny thing. I'm watching the game, and he got a single off. You know, he got a single. Mm-hmm. And he saw the guy coming out, and we can't say what he said to himself because he did not want to come out. And they had a rule. Now, go ahead, tell about anecdotal. I don't know how to say.
Well, you're good friends with a guy from Kingston, Bob Elliott, who's in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and the only Canadian that...
The only Canadian writer in the Baseball Hall of Fame, which is something, because the Baseball Hall of Fame is tough to get into.
They're all American.
And so I said, you sent some emails back, and I said, what'd you think of that? And he said that the manager, what's his name, Cash, he says he has no control over that. That they have analytics, they have people who just put it in numbers, and the numbers say to take Snell out because it's the third time up at, this is the third time through the lineup, and to pull him. And he says that the manager's in a no-win situation because he's told to pull him, and if he doesn't pull him, well, then it's your
head. And he just got a single, so I often wonder if he had stuck that guy out. You know, and I said, he's not going to take him out. Holy smoke. I said, is he going to get, if this Jackson doesn't pitch well, and he bing, 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 and they lost, that's where they lost the game. But I said, if he doesn't pitch well, this manager is going to get it. But I Brian Kilray, the winningest coach of all time in junior hockey, I think you sent over a thing about him, what he thought of.
They asked him. They said, "Does analytics, which is the number crunching to get in, to make a decision, have any place in hockey?" And he goes, "Yeah, in the bathroom."
The washroom.
You were never a stats guy, were you? Like when you coached the Bruins, did you ever look at stats? You're big on plus and minus, but...
No, I didn't. I wasn't...
You didn't even look at the plus and minus?
When the guy came in, I just hold my hand up like that because I tell it for the first time. The first time I looked at that, and this is the NHL, not the American. We lost. A guy like that, he'd come in, he opened the door. He'd always bring it in, and he'd put it down, and I would never look at it. I did not know till you told me that Ricky Smith on our team was the highest plus outside of Bobby Orr. I mean, Bobby Orr played. Imagine Bobby Orr was a plus 123. Ricky Smith was
the 77-78, the year we got 11-20 goal scores, was
plus 70. And the guy that won it this year was Graves. What was his first name? I forget.
Ryan.
Ryan Graves. He was plus 40. And Ricky Smith was plus 70. I didn't know, and you did not, you had to tell me, I did not know.
So you were so not into stats.
No, I did not.
You didn't even like the shots on goal.
No.
Boston Gardens at the time was the only place where they didn't have shots on goal.
You know, at one time, it was the only place that had a special clock.
That's right.
For shot on goal. So I'd be back at the bench and I'd listen to Phil Esposito. See, he didn't give us a shot. Who cares if he didn't? Some guy upstairs didn't give a shot there. He was more worried about the shots on net Now, you have to be very careful with the guy that has shots on net, because what happens is you can make your goaltender look bad or you can make your goaltender look good. These guys were worried, and I said, Harry, if you don't take that shot clock down, I said, it's bothering a guy like Phil. I mean, he looked after every shot, he'd look up at the clock.
Well, Gilbert used to look up at the shots.
And Gilbert used to look up at the clock. I said, Harry, take that. We were the only team in the league that had that clock shot separate.
It wasn't on the scoreboard.
No, it was at the same. And everybody used to look at it. I said, Harry, I'm telling you, take that clock down or I'm going to rip it off the wall. And because
Well, because like Gilbert, he'd get mad if he make a save and they didn't give a shot.
Yeah.
I think I remember it was only at one end, right?
It was at the one end.
And when Gilly was playing in front of the shot clock, he would actually look over his shoulder and look at the clock.
We were more worried about shots on net than we were winning the game.
I remember that. I go, oh, my. Because I'd sit with Mom. I said, look at Gilly. I says, you look behind him. I said, that just bugs Dad. I said, something's going to happen.
And yes, no, you guys used to, I didn't know too much about Gilly, but Esposito used to bother me. Yeah. He'd get a shot, he'd be happy. What's a shot mean? Doesn't mean anything. And
I got to tell a quick story about plus minus. And again, you never really, like we talk about it now kind of as a gauge, but you never looked at it.
I never looked at it because I didn't want to look at it.
But we were in Colorado, and remember, we were in Colorado, and I was in your office, and you were in your office, and you know, Dad's desk was kind of messy as it was. And Mike Christie came in.
Oh, yeah. He was waiting.
He was waiting. He came in. And then you were on the phone. And so he wanted to talk to you about something. So Mike's just kind of looking at your desk.
He's pulling
stuff around.
Being nosy,
right?
And I hear him, yeah.
And he picks up and he goes, minus 40.
38, I think it was.
Minus 38.
30, that's...
And he goes, oh, my God. He goes, I know I was... to having a rough season, but minus 38, he just collapsed into the corner. And then he went a tirade on Hardy Astrom like you can't believe.
Don't you worry about it. And he was playing good. But every time he stepped on the ice, Hardy had let in a goal. It seemed every time. And I remember one time in Winnipeg, we must talk about that one, that he actually had the guy over at the side perfect, and the guy just put a feeble shot on net, and he scored. And I remember him standing in the corner, leaning on the boards, thinking, I mean, it was unbelievable, thinking on the boards. And I remember Mike Christie. I mean, he was, God love him, he had a little with his kidney later on, but boy, was he was a great guy.
But I remember him looking, just a shock on his face that he was my, and that's why, and you know what Brian Kilray said? I remember talking to him about plus minus, and I asked him, I said, do you look at plus minus? When he goes, no. And he says, if what they should do is, every year, every month, they should start over again.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because he says, if you have a bad month and you're minus 15, you're never going to catch up. Right?
Never.
You're never going to catch up. At best, you're going to be as even. But then if you start at zero and you have a good month and you look and you can say, well, you know he's playing better because this month he's plus 5 or 6, where last month he was minus 10 or 15. And so, but, you know, like Brian Kilray is like you. He never looked at.
And then you look at some of these coaches, they live and die by stats.
Well, that.
Because you were saying they don't have a feel for the team.
Especially baseball.
They don't have a feel for the team like you did.
I think this guy knew. But what's he going to do? It was it was right on the money. And the guy got the single. And I thought, holy smokes, he's not going to pull. And the guy did not want to come out. And the LA Dodgers, they were so happy to see him being pulled. That's the guy, whoever said, and well, you know what Tampa said? They got me to the final analytical or whatever you call it, got it to the final. So you had to go along with it.
But he's taken
all the shots.
Right. And that's what the one guy, I remember the one guy from, I think his name was Kevin Miller from Major League Baseball, says, why aren't the guys who do the analytics, why aren't they up answering the questions by the media?
He didn't know what to do.
Like what the plan. So, you know.
He's taking the shots. And you know what? That'll follow him around. You know what? They'll be mentioning that 10 years from now because that was so, it was so obvious. I mean, a dumbhead would know not to pull this guy because they couldn't even touch him. They weren't even near.
He had one in six innings. He had one hit. One hit. He had one run, And yeah, he struck out 9 out of 16 batters.
Unbelievable.
Again, Dad, if you got a coach that's worrying about his job, obviously if he went against upper management, he'd be worried about his job.
I know that.
And that's why you got, a lot of times.
Well, the thing is, the people that know the first is the players. The players know if a guy
you're
is
management or you're one of those guys.
If you and I got told I got to be more management. I remember the very first time I coached Doug Adams. God love him. He's died. I think he's died. Better be careful. But he was a golf guy, and he came in and he said, "You got to be more management if you want to get by in hockey or any. You got to be more management than you are players." I didn't pay any attention to him.
So, do you think, you've always talked about a manager and a coach, and handling the dressing room. Do you think the Tampa Bay Ray baseball players now?
They
don't look at him the same way.
Nope, they don't. They don't. They know that he's being told, and he wanted to keep his job.
Exactly.
And Tampa Bay had the smallest
payroll.
Payroll.
Mookie Betts.
What was the stats you were saying?
Betts, who was, a right fielder for the Dodgers, made more money than the starting lineup of the whole Tampa Bay.
And they won. So it paid off. And they get big crowds and they can afford it. But Mookie Betts, imagine making more money. And Tampa Bay, they don't try anything. I guess they had a bad arena or bad baseball or something. Anyhow, they don't try anything. And here they are in the finals. And they had the most expensive team, the Dodgers, who won, and the least expensive salary-wise was the Tampa. So that was as far as... So anyhow, that's gone. We're talking about it, but that manager will be... no. That's the guy that pulled that guy. And Snell, he was on a roll. I mean, you could see the confidence in this guy. He knew he had them.
You're always telling me that pulling a pitcher is not the same as pulling a goalie. But in that case, it might have been because he was upset.
Yeah, I know he was really upset. Goalies do not like to be pulled. I never pulled my goalie except for Artie. I remember one time in New York, this is a true story, we're getting beaten. The owners were there. I knew I was getting fired. And Hardy wanted a bail. And I said, Kevin Morrison was on defense. I says, he wants to come out. And I said, don't let him out. When you go out on the shift, if he starts coming out, push him back in the net. And I made him stay, and I think we got beat 8-0.
Did you ever pull Gilly or Cheevers?
No, I don't know. I don't.
Or Zimmerman?
No, you know what happens? A lot of guys pull a goalie to get a bigger they get a lift. The other player, they put the goalie in, they play a lot better because they got this backup in and all that stuff. But what happens that I found is that when your number one goalie starts having a bad game, he starts looking at the bench. So I said, you got to start it and you're going to finish it. We must get in with
David. They dig you in a hole.
You're going to stay in there the whole time. I'm not going to bail you out.
Yeah. The one thing too that we go when hockey starts up again, we'll be going out watching the minor midgets. But young coaches really have to be careful pulling goalies.
It's painful to watch when you go and when they pull the goalies.
How about the time I come in late?
We don't want to talk about that.
And Dell, was playing goal. How old has he been?
Oh, he was 9 or 10 maybe. Was he?
And I come in and I'm standing with his father Roger, and I'm saying, "Where is the, I thought Dell was."
It was
playing.
The first. We're 2 minutes into the game, and we were 30 seconds late or a minute late, and Dell wasn't playing, and his coach pulled him after the first shot went in, and
it
yanked
was a
him
tip
out.
In.
It was whatever, and guess who the backup goalie, because in those days they switched the goalies. Guess who the coach's his son was the other goalie, and he put the other goalie.
I said, "Well, I have to get out of here."
Yeah,
and they said, "Why are you leaving?" I said, "If I don't, I'll be charged with murder."
Mm-hmm. But we you and I watch games where kids have been pretty good goalies, and the coaches ruined them by pulling them.
Yeah, how about that kid, the little kid? Remember the kid we went to see? And he left his mask on, and he was crying with his mask on. And I was going down to grab the coach. It was an Irish guy, too.
Yeah.
Remember that?
There's a lot of, stories where the guys, they just... And the funny thing is, they just let the kid collapse on the bench. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they don't go down and console them. They don't wait till the end of the period. They don't, you know, they just yank them. It's it's criminal what they do.
Got to be careful with gold because they're a little flaky to start with. And
I think one of the worst ones I saw was there was a goalie who was pretty good and was in the first round of the playoffs, and it was nothing going into probably about halfway through the game. And he got scored on a breakaway. And I think it was like the Marlies he were playing. So it was like McDavid or Hosong scored on him. And the guy pulled him. And you know, the other goalie went in. And then they got bombed. And the other, he was never the same after that. And
I see Hosong. You mentioned Hosong. I see he signed a year contract.
Another year.
I can tell you, being a hockey mom, that in the rinks, the goalie's mom, if her kids are starting, will usually sit by herself. And you can always see who's going to start, because if the mother is sitting with the other mothers, that means their kid isn't starting. Oh, yeah. But if she's over in a corner, her son's going to start. Everyone leaves her alone.
I used to like you, Tim, when you played. When you score, you know, but I never enjoyed a game when Dell was playing.
No.
I could hardly wait till the game got over. And I remember one guy says, I stopped talking to people. I never talked to anybody anyhow, but with one time I talked to guys, Dell would like that third go back. What do you mean by that? Well, I want him. So that was it. I never enjoyed it. I never enjoyed one game when my grandson was playing. And I tell you, boy, to be a goaltender, you have to be a different person to be a goaltender. I should have thought of that when I did Jilly Gilbert. I used to give him a hard time. Never used to talk to him. Anyhow, that manager will be noted for the rest of his life. That's the guy. They'll say, that's the guy that pulled the guy. The guy's named Snell was the pitcher, and he was just mowing him down.
Yeah. Do you want to go over some of the kids that got drafted that we've seen over the...
Yeah, why don't you tell... You know how to pronounce the names. I know the kids, but I don't know... I just don't know. And we saw a lot. We saw an awful lot of kids. Well, we saw a lot of them drafted... And
we saw Quentin Byfield. We've talked about him.
Talked about him, yeah.
And
short stick.
He's got a short stick. He's 6. He's young. Like
he'll be about 6'6".
He's almost 10 months younger than the rest of the kids. So that's a lot. He's 6'4", 215 pounds.
He'll be about 6'6".
But you know what though, Dad? You and I watched him. You're not knocking the kids, and that's the problem.
No, we don't want to knock anybody, but we're not going to be like those guys on TV. Everybody's a superstar.
He's really got to work. He's got to work on his first few strides. When we saw him and play for Sudbury, he's good. I mean, he's okay.
Remember the third period when they must have told him I was there?
Yeah,
that goal?
Yeah, the one goal. He let a shot go.
But, boy, he can do it.
But so he's... he went to LA, and I think he'll do well. But
play.
He'll play, but he's skating. He's got to get him up. And then, on the sixth round or sixth overall was Jamie Drysdale.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I got to be with Ottawa. I can't believe they didn't pick him. They took two defensemen before him.
And, boy, he's a beauty.
And in about 4 or 5 years, people are going to say, I can't believe Ottawa didn't take Jamie Drysdale.
Yeah,
and because he was the second youngest kid on Team Canada last year in the juniors. And remember, one of the defensemen got hurt and he had to play.
Yeah, and he played.
And he played. And that's a 19-year-old. He was 17 at the time. And that's a 19-year-old tournament.
Yeah.
And he really played well.
Did he ever? I like him.
I don't know. And then the one thing, and then number 10, the guy that you and I liked was Cole Perfetti. We saw him play for Vaughan. The Jets picked him up.
This guy, yeah, and they've got a beauty in him. Whoever scouted him, he's good.
Well, the Jets, what Shoveldy or the GM, what's his Shoveldy off? The GM said, he goes, I can't believe, he says, we can't believe he was there.
Well, I couldn't either.
And here's the thing that I always find, you and I are just talking about analytics, and everybody's talks about, and these guys are supposed to be the analytics. He scored everywhere he's gone, he scored. When we saw him, he had 125 points in X amount of games. So in his rookie year with Saginaw in the OHL, he had 37 goals. And last year, he had 111 points in 61 games. And only Lafreniere had 112. Now, he had played a few less games. And Detroit, who I thought was going to take him because they kind of have a connection with Saginaw.
Well, they're trying to pull a Hegman or somebody like that. I just don't understand Detroit.
So they took a Swede who has 24 points in 42 games, and they passed up a guy in the OHL that has 111 points. And so you're like,
don't ask me.
And then even that Rossi that is who played for Brian's team, 67s, he had 120 points, and he went 10th. So you just you wonder where their people's heads are. Like, you know, you just...
I'll tell you what they're trying to do, Tim. They're trying to pull a guy out of the hat. You know, oh, boy, are they ever a good manager. They picked that guy. Instead of picking the obvious guy...
They think too much.
Remember, I have to go... Yeah, they think too much. I remember, we have to... I know we're going a little long here, but I have to tell one story. This is the unbelievable story it cost me a Stanley Cup. I remember the reporters coming to me, Don, you have to pick this guy. You have to pick this guy. Where was he playing in New Hampshire?
You know, I think it was University of Hampshire.
Yeah. You have to pick this guy. He's got a Boston accent. He's a big guy. He's a defenseman. And so I said, I went in and I said, Harry, I don't know who you're picking, you know, number one, but I said, this guy is 6'2". A big guy and all
and you kind of needed a defenseman, didn't you?
And we needed a defenseman because we're going to lose Bobby. He's going to Chicago, what are you going to listen to the writers? And I said, well, geez, these guys know what's going on.
It really is amazing when you think about it.
Well, no, wait till I tell you the guy. Well, maybe the people that my era will remember. So we took it. I'm not knocking the goalie we took. We already had three goalies. We had Jilly Gilbert, who set a record. We had Jerry Cheever, St. Elmore, Stanley Cup winner. And then we had Ron Graham, the best goaltender in the WHA. So we had three goalies to start with. I mean, he did trade Graham later on. So we take a goaltender, a small goaltender, who never, I think he played about 100 games in the National Hockey League. You know who we passed up? Rod Langway. And guess Montreal took right after us and they took Rod Langway. What did he win? He won the Norris Trophy, and he played about 20 years in the National Hockey League. Him and Park on defense would have been unbelievable. Instead, he goes and he plays for the Montreal Canadiens.
So is that a reflection of the scouts in that
yes.
area?
Yeah,
we said this once before, but just think this could have happened for Boston. Let's say Bobby was okay, right?
And
would have had Brad Park and you would have had Bobby, right? Yeah. Then let's say you did draft Rod Langway. So you would have had Brad Park, Bobby, or Rod Langway. And then Harry traded.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
He traded Rod Graham to LA and got Ray Bourque. So you guys could have had Park or Bourque and Langway.
Holy smokes.
And if Bobby would have stayed and his needs would have been okay.
Probably would have stayed. I would have talked to Bobby on that one. And, you know, and he wouldn't have had to play. He wouldn't have had to kill penalties. He wouldn't have had to do all that stuff. But anyhow, so I guess that we talked long enough.
One more guy I just want to mention that we saw that I mentioned before, though, I think is going to be the dark horse.
Yeah, you tell them.
He was picked 98th by the Sharks. There's a guy named Brandon Coe.
And yeah, we used to talk about him.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He played for the Nats, and he was a pointy game for them. And he's a pretty good skater. Like he's okay, and he's 6'4", 190 pounds. And he played for North Bay, which wasn't a very good team last year, and he's still getting a pointy game. And I think that he's going to be a guy that, in like 4 or 5 years, people are going to say, well, he's one of those.
I don't know. Again, Tim. Tell me how Toronto, and you know I'm for Toronto.
I think they
draft, all their draft was from Europe. Like, I don't,
well, and
American.
It shows that they're progressive. They're very
I think that they rely on analytics. I think that Dubas is one of those guys.
Score. I mean, they're over there. They don't get any goals, and they're playing in the ice capades over there. And then every guy he's got, except one, is from Ontario. Like I don't get it. They get Spezza, who's the big guy.
Well,
Spezza fighting. And then we get Simmons. I mean, I told you about Simmons someday. He's going to sit down. And he said, wait a minute. I'm 32 years old. I got a one-year contract. I'm making $1 million, which is a lot of money, $1.5 million. And I'm supposed to protect these guys that are 23, 24, 25,
well,
making
that's not,
10 million?
Is that, that's not Spezza's job, is it?
No.
Well, he did fight, though. He was the only guy that fought in the
Jason
playoffs.
Jason Spezza was fighting.
Yeah, he's a fighter. Oh. I don't, never mind, Toronto. I just said I don't understand drafting. And, you know, I love the kids here. 40,000 kids playing around Toronto. More juniors than anybody place in the world. And we draft, we draft all Europeans. Well, I don't get it.
Well, it's the same with Ottawa. They take a German and an American over Jamie Drysdale.
Yeah.
You know, and you look and you go, you know, you look and you go, you know, Jamie Drysdale, to me, he was maybe one of the best defensemen that we've seen playing.
What are their minds? Do they ever watch these guys? I remember that we got to go. I know we're going on a little too long. I remember that we and Colorado drafted a guy. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to mention his name because he doesn't like me and I don't like him. And he had a good playoffs and he had a broken leg or something. And we took him and we took him number one. We were number one, number one. And we call him Baby Huey and he couldn't make our club. And he floated. Anyhow, we're going down the thing. I just don't understand how they draft. We go out and we watch these kids, and what are they thinking? Anyhow, Bobby Orr, let's go with the end of, and Jack Nicklaus. We'll have to end there.
Next week we'll know who won.
We'll know. We can be talking about the next.
Yeah, and you know what? On this program, I'm going to take, and you have to count it out because he's winning.
All right. Well, you got Trump. I'm saying Biden's going to win. But when I said it, the spread was a lot wider.
Doesn't matter. I told you.
It got a lot closer the last
and what,
week.
And we're doing this on a Sunday. And
Tuesday, it'll be
he's
the election.
Do four,
well, we might not know by Sunday. They still might be. They'll be arguing back and forth.
The count was off. Who did
anyhow,
what?
You're going to count the money out.
Okay. Well, again, we'd like to thank everybody for listening and thank our sponsor, spreads.ca. So if you want to go bet some football, go there if you would just feel like playing some casino games.
I watch football all the time. I'm sort of a punker. And Brady's doing good, so I'm happy.
Yeah, everybody, but boy, they were all on him, man.
Yeah, I remember he lost that game. Is he, 5-2 now?
Yep. So
I don't know what but he's doing good anyhow.
All right, well, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Toodaloo.